This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
I think to get us started today, what I'd like to hear first is from you. And I'd like to hear just several things, concepts, ideas that you've heard over the last day, 2 days here. To get us started. So, what have you been hearing? Surely our time's not been wasted. So many different things. Okay, a lot of talk about getting along together, about relationships. Good. Okay. Bible is a foundation. Okay. Not ashamed of our faith and belief. Salt and light. Get out. Spread out. A little bit of salt everywhere. Doesn't take much salt to do a lot. Too much salt is not so good. Okay, great. So these are ideas, concepts that we've been floating around. Probably not a lot of them are that are entirely new. But the challenge is, how do we take these ideas and actually do something with them? It's one thing to claim a belief. It's another to own it. Many of us have grown up listening to or reading Laura Ingalls Wilder's stories. Little House in the Prairie, Little House in the Big Woods. Yes, looks like we're familiar with those. Well, this summer, we were privileged to visit the Wilder Homestead in DeSchmidt, South Dakota, with our children in quite an interesting experience there. But that got me thinking about some ideas here in relation to our subject. One of the allures of the South Dakota prairies in the late 1800s was a promise of free land. Any U.S. citizen who had never borne arms against the United States and was at least 21 years old, could stake a claim to any 160-acre parcel of unclaimed land. The homesteaders could stake a claim by paying a $10 filing fee and literally driving a stake into the land. They could also stake a claim by building piles of rocks or by building straddlebugs, which were small tripods with the claimant's name written on one of the boards. Sounds wonderful and easy, doesn't it? Just stake a claim, free land. Well, there were some other things to the deal. Owning the land was not quite as simple as staking a claim. The homesteader also had to prove up on his claim, is what it was called, proving up on the land. Here are some of the things that involved. They had to build a dwelling at least 12 by 14 feet. They had to cultivate at least 10 acres. They had to take up residency within 6 months of staking the claim. And they could not be absent from the claim for more than 6 months out of the year. They could not establish a legal residency anywhere else. And they had to live on the claim for 5 years. So they had to maintain this for 5 years. This cultivation of land, living on the property at least 6 months out of the year. And if they accomplished that, that was called proving up on the land. If they were able to do that, then two witnesses were required to attest to the required improvements. And with some additional paperwork, then the homesteader owned his claim free and clear. And it became his property. So we're thinking about claiming to owning. And you can't see this whole diagram. So, Orion, maybe I'll designate you to keep me on track here. If I forget to pull it down, just tell me to pull it down, all right? So from claiming to owning is our subject. How do we move from that? or through that process. I'm going to present the material, and I might stop various times along the way if you have any comments or questions. And in between, if you have a comment or question, feel free to put up your hand. But let's start down here at the bottom. Let's start down here with number one. And basically, what we have down here is just life. Going through life. Life brings us all kinds of things. It brings us experience. It brings us, we do some reading. We do study. We have current events that we encounter. Things like going to reach, hearing a lot of teaching, hearing a lot of input, and a lot of other things like that. And so we have 1 Timothy 2:15, which says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, what does that word study mean? We're not going to go too far into that. But I think really what it means and what we have here is a foundation of this owning things and owning our belief system is an examined life. To live an examined life. To live a life in the context of the things that are going on, and to develop a habit of accurate observation. So as we're going along through life, we don't have to necessarily be observant. We can just kind of live. You can come to reach and go to various workshops, go to the main sessions and hear all this stuff, and it just kind of rolls like water off a duck's back. And you can leave here with basically nothing. But I don't think that's why you came. That's not why you're investing a whole day or 2 days out of your busy lives to be here. You're here because you want something. Well, if you actually want to take something away from here, it takes some intentional listening. It takes some listening to, what was the main point of that session? What was that speaker really trying to drive home, and what was he trying to communicate to us, and how does that connect with my life? That's what I mean by, yeah, we have these experiences, these things that go on, life happens, but in the context of that, we need to pay attention and be intentional about engaging with life and not just kind of coasting through. Because if we coast through, we're not going to catch a whole lot. We might still catch a few things. Now, let's say we do pay attention to what's going on, and we do, in situations like this, these couple days, we do listen intentionally, and we do listen for what God's wanting to say to us. That does give us a few things. And basically what it gives us is knowledge. It gives us knowledge. That's a good thing. It gives us facts. We had a bunch of facts in Gary Miller's presentation this morning about the changing world. So now you know a few things maybe you didn't know before. It gives us images. It gives us information. Those are all good things. In regard to God, we could gain some facts or some information, some scriptures about the love of God, about the wisdom of God, about the holiness of God, about God's plan for our lives. That's all good to know scripture. And that's a good start. And we're not going to go a lot further without that. Paul Little says that God cannot lead us out of our pea-sized Christianity based on facts that we don't know. Now, you might debate that. We had it posted around school for a while. And somewhere along the way, someone crossed out facts and put in their faith. They didn't like this idea that we had to have facts, or we had to have this information input in order to grow in our Christian life. I guess they thought it was just we need to have faith. I'm suggesting that maybe the two need to go together, and we'll get to faith a little later on. But we need that input of information. That's why we have daily devotions, because that gives us that regular input from the Word. And without that, we're not going to grow. However, that in itself is not the end of the process. That's maybe staking a claim. We then can go into some detours with that, and kind of that's all the further it goes. If that's all the further it goes, we can kind of take this detour over to the side, which leads us into what we call the unexamined life. Now I said down here we have the examined life. Maybe that's more the whole picture here, the examined life. But here we have the unexamined life. And I think this is where we can kind of take a detour. In back to this idea of the staking a claim in the homesteading sense, there was a shortcut that people could take in owning property, and they could pay $1.25 an acre and live on the land for just 6 months instead of 12, and in that process own the land. That is much easier. Obviously costs some money, but a much easier process. And some people did that. It was a shortcut to owning the property. And sometimes we do that with our belief systems too. We hear something, we latch on to it, it's like, oh, that was a great idea. That was a great presentation. And we embrace this idea in kind of a shortcut process, but it doesn't really take us to where we want to go. Most of the people that did this on the South Dakota land turned around and sold it for a profit because they had not invested the sweat, tears, and energy into that land, and it didn't have that deep value to them. They could own it, but they didn't really latch on to it in a powerful way. We call this apparent belief. Apparent belief. We appear to believe it. It looks like all the ladies here have embraced the idea of a Christian woman's veiling. But just the fact that you're here and wearing it does not necessarily mean that you own that teaching or that you own that belief. It could be just an apparent belief, something that you just, that's what my parents taught me to do, it's what my church teaches me to do, and so that's what I do, an apparent belief. My brother-in-law, years back, was very strong on the idea of wearing a cape dress. I have nothing against cape dress. My wife wears one. But he was very, very strong, very dogmatic about wearing a cape dress, to the point of saying that if you didn't wear a cape dress, he wasn't too sure about whether you could get to heaven or not. Okay, very dogmatic. And that's one of the characteristics of this kind of life. Dogmatic is kind of an authoritative assertion of unproved principles. We kind of borrow the term from the Catholic Church. This is the dogma that you have to believe. What happened to him? Well, over the course of years, they turned it all in. And they're not anything Anabaptist. I'm not sure if they'd even claim to be Christian. I'm not quite sure where they're at with that right now. But how did that happen? If he had such a strong belief, how did he get there? Well, I would suggest that it was an apparent belief. It was not deeply owned, deeply understood, and deeply held. Why are people like that dogmatic? Because they have to be dogmatic, because they're not quite sure of the foundations behind it. They can hardly have a reasonable discussion about it because they're often threatened. If you start asking someone questions about something and you get a sense that they're uncomfortable with the questions, it's a fairly good indication that they haven't really owned that belief to start with. Because if we really own something, we're glad to tell people about it. We can also, or this also leads to impotence. It's not a very powerful testimony, not a very powerful story when we just kind of take this surface approach. It can also lead to respectability, where we just do things because it's the respectable thing to do, because of our reputation and whatever else. That then can lend itself to hypocrisy, because we're really not who we appear to be. We're really something kind of different, and maybe our belief system is kind of something different than what's actually seen on the surface. And we can say all the right words, but when you really start to look at our lives, we start to pick up these inconsistencies because it's not really a part of a fabric of who we are. We could also put in there the term the wisdom of man from 2 Corinthians. The wisdom of man. It's not really the wisdom of God working among us, but it's just rationalism. It just makes sense, and so we kind of bought into the idea. Now, back to our list of things that we had there at the beginning, you know, about getting along together. Great idea, right? We would all embrace that idea. And we all understand it to be a biblical concept, and so we know the right words to say. But what are we really doing with it? We're really taking it home, taking it to the bank. Or do we just kind of embrace the idea because we know it's right, we know it's biblical, we know it's what we should do, and so we talk about it, yes, yes, this is all good, this, yeah, but really doesn't impact our lives. That's staking a claim, but not following through on it. Where then do we need to go, or what's the next step? I think the next step is this one, and that is struggle. Lest I forget later, I'd like to give a couple credits here. One is to Marcus Yoder, who taught at SMBI years back. He used to present this diagram, and I think he might have borrowed it from Steve Brubaker, who I've also seen present it quite a number of years ago. And I picked it up and have used it quite a lot in numerous of my classes at SMBI with different applications. So I'd like to give those men credit for some of the ideas and diagram behind this. So struggle. And I saw some of this yesterday in Dave Yoder's class about relationships. As I looked around, tears around the auditorium indicating struggle. There were real things going on that were connecting with the concepts and creating a struggle. That's a good step. That's a necessary step in the process. Some other words that we could attach to this would be questioning. And to the young people here, I would like to say, asking questions is okay. It's a good part of the process. To you as older ones, pastors, parents, I would like to say, we need to create a safe place for questions. Whether it's in our VS units, whether it's in our churches and youth groups, wherever it's at, we need to create that safe place for questions because it's essential to the journey. If we shut down the questions, really what we do is push people into this. And we just say, just believe it, just do it. That's what we're telling you to do. That's what the mission policies are, so just do it. That's what our church policies are, just do it. And really what we're doing is this. And we're not developing strong belief systems in the process. So it's one of my goals as administrator at SMBI to create an environment in my classes around the campus where it's safe to ask questions. Questioning is part of the journey, part of the struggle. We could also put in here processing. We could put in assimilating, taking those things and connecting it with our other beliefs and connecting it with things that are going on. This is where journaling can be helpful. Assigning journals, if you're in that kind of a situation in your youth group or mentoring in a VS unit, something like that, or even personally, journaling can be an important part of this process where we can actually get our thoughts out on paper and see them and think through them and evaluate them. The biblical term might be meditation. To meditate on those things. All right, I think I'll stop right there for just a minute. Are there any comments, questions on what I've presented so far? Okay. I did that for a reason, and your silence helps me out. Because when I'm teaching a class and there are no questions or no comments or no dialogue, then I wonder if we're just staying down here in this bottom box. Are we just collecting a bunch of information and ideas and questions? Okay. If I'm teaching a class and there's not a lot of dialogue going on, there's either one of two things happening. One, they're not engaging and they're not struggling with the ideas and not really moving through this process. Or secondly, I've presented information that's so elementary and basic that, I mean, it's like, well, duh, we already got that. Okay. So I'm not sure which is the case today. Maybe some of both. And maybe some is just too big of a group. I'm not sure I want to say anything. Yes. We got someone moving up into the arrow box here. All right, go ahead.
I didn't know where you were going from the beginning, but claiming I see it as faith is what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then owning it is moving on in action to what we believe. There's often this here debate about faith or works. I don't think faith should be separated from obedience. I think the one that in obedient faith acts upon what you believe, moves into action, is a lot further than the theologian that tries to figure out faith and works.
Okay, good. So we have someone here doing a little bit of assimilating, and he's like, I wasn't sure quite where you were going from the beginning, and he's trying to fit this into other things and other ideas that he has and other beliefs that he has, and he's still not quite sure where I'm going, and we'll see whether it fits with where he thinks I'm going or not. He's saying, well, maybe this down here is what we believe by faith, and then this is actually putting it into works. And you'll listen and see if that's exactly where I'm going. I think that's part of it, but let's see where we end up. Let's go to the next category here. The struggle, then, and the questions in the assimilating and the discussion gives us, then, concepts. Now, concepts are different than facts. Concepts are deeper. Concepts, you could say maybe principles, although principles could be kind of in between facts and concepts. But you think of like something like algebra. There's probably a lot of you that as you were going through high school understood the facts and you could work through the problem, maybe even had some struggle in it, but you never maybe got to the point of actually understanding the concept. Any hands on that? But then some of you went on to teach school, like myself, and in the process of teaching school, you had to struggle with it on a different level and in a way that enabled you to actually teach it. And in order to actually teach it, you had to understand more the concept. And in the process, the concept became clearer. How did that happen? Yeah, there was some struggle here in high school, but you never really got all the way through that to the point of concepts. But with additional struggle on an additional level, took you to the concepts. And so we have the same thing spiritually sometimes, say forgiveness. Okay, we understand the ideas, we struggle, and we know it's the right thing to do, and so we actually do it, and we think we've resolved this issue within this relationship, only to discover that maybe 2 or 3 years later, the issue comes up again. I would imagine there's some of you that have experienced that, and we can be frustrated with that process and feel guilty, like, well, did I not forgive him 3 years ago? What's with this that I still feel this in the relationship and this is coming up again? Well, it's because it's part of the journey. Yes, you probably did forgive back here, but it didn't become a deep part of the fabric of your life. It's kind of like there are additional layers. And so as you continue through the process, you encounter and come to a new level of understanding. So Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And it also says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So we have both knowledge and understanding being talked about in Scripture. And sometimes it's not completely clear how those terms are used, but we have those two ideas here with understanding here at this level. We have the knowledge and also understanding in, we could put that on here, in the fear of the Lord. Now, we had a detour on this side. We can also have a detour on this side. We can get into the struggle and kind of get stuck there. Maybe that's some of you. Maybe you know people like that. They kind of just get stuck in the struggle and never seem to be able to just really move on in life. That also can become a detour and can take us into a place of skepticism. Thank you. Take us into skepticism or cynicism. We just get skeptical and cynical about life and about people and about relationships and about ministry and about missions and or whatever it is. Because we've been there. We've been there. We've tried that. We've done that. And it's not working. And so we can kind of throw in the towel. Now, that does not necessarily have to mean throwing in the towel on our faith. For some people, that's what it means. But it can also mean throwing in the towel on the journey and throwing in the towel on the struggle and actually moving through our Christian journey. And so we can have sometimes people who died at 27 and lived to be 77 type of people. Understand? Okay, they just kind of shut down, kind of flatline, and just kind of sit there. Yeah, that might sound like a parent belief, but it's a different feel to it. They've been in the struggle. It can also look like just a perpetual struggle. People that never get done asking questions. And we're going to talk about where that goes next. And so they kind of get stuck there. We'll get back to you here in a minute, Orion. And so we can have kind of a hardness of heart. Here we had a parent belief. On this side, we have a hardness of heart that is just stuck in life. All right, Orion, you had a question?
Well, I was a little confused. Like, so the skepticism and cynicism, is that a shortcut from struggle to avoid wrestling through this concept?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And avoiding where we're going to go next. It might even come to a point of understanding the concepts, but they don't want to do this. They don't want to turn. Okay, turning is this third category up here. When we come to an understanding of the concepts, it requires a response from us. And some people don't want to go there, and so they just perpetually ask questions. Like, really? Hath God said, you know, is it really what it means? You know. Judy, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I was just wondering, can a person not go from the struggle to a parent? Can it not go in that direction, or is it that it would only go there for a time and then it would become?
Okay, that's a great question. Can we go enter into the struggle and then still kind of end up here with a parent belief? And I think how that would look is someone who does stay in the faith, okay? They don't throw in the towel in the sense of just walking out altogether, but they're still not rooted, founded. The skeptic on this side would be, maybe didn't present that completely clearly, would be more the idea of that perpetual asking of questions and never really able to just lay it down and just go with it, even though they don't understand everything. And that's an important ability to say, hey, I don't get it, I don't understand everything, but I've tried, I've worked through it, I'm going to keep asking questions, but in the meantime, I'm going to go with it. We need to do that. Because there's just things about God and about what he calls us to that we don't get. You can ask questions till whatever, and it's not always going to make sense. And we have to be able to turn and adjust. It's also a great question in the sense of this. As we're working through this, probably you're saying, okay, where am I at? Right? So where are you at? Okay. So how do we encourage struggle? A couple comments on that. How do we encourage struggle?
I think what you said of creating an atmosphere for a safe question.
Okay. Apparently there was that environment there because one son was asking the questions. Same environment, same home. Yeah, that can happen. Some of it's personality, and that can sound kind of dangerous to, like, actually ask them questions or promote questions, promote doubt. Like, whoa, we shouldn't promote doubt, should we? Well, not in an unhealthy sense, but I think there is a sense that it is okay to encourage people to question, like, why do we do this? Where does this belief come from? What does Scripture say about this? You know, what is God calling you to? So I think there's a place for that to draw somebody out by asking some questions, some well-timed, well-appointed questions. And again, that can sound like scary territory, like, where is this all going to end up if we do this? But at the same time, where is it going to end up if we just leave them here? And it just looks like they're on the right track, but then they get married and get out on their own and or go off to college or whatever, and all of a sudden everything falls apart. And we're like, what happened? Well, it's because it was just here, and it wasn't something that they owned. And they got out there, and they sold it for cheap. They got it cheap, and they sell it cheap. All right, time's moving on. We need to get to the top here. So turning, some other words that we could put with that are change. And this is hard. This is hard, and it's not easy to change. It's just not easy. Adjustment. The biblical term might be repentance. And sometimes it calls us to that, and that's never easy. But if we're going to own our claim, it's often part of the process. If we move through that process, then we've understood the ideas, we've struggled with it, we've fitted in, we've assimilated it, we've asked the questions, we've searched it out. Spirit has worked in our lives. We come to the point of understanding the concepts, and by God's grace and His work in our lives, we repent, we adjust, we fit our lives in with it. Just last term, I was teaching a class on Christian morality class, and there was one student who in the process of that class was studying about music, contemporary music and things like that in his life, and he came to a place, I don't know where it's going to go eventually, but in that struggle, he understood some concepts, and his music was changing. He was getting rid of music, changing his music style. That kind of process is different than me just getting up as an instructor, teaching on the subject, and in the process of that, he changes his music. I think he's much less likely to come back to that music if he's worked through that process as I described, as compared to, you know, just a weekend speaker coming in and I teach on the subject and he gets convicted and changes his music. I think there's a much higher possibility of him coming back to it because he hasn't struggled with it personally. I'm not saying he will. Okay, the Spirit can work in that way, in that process. And this process doesn't have to take months or weeks. Okay, it can happen in an evening or a weekend. But there still has to be that personal struggle if it's going to be well-developed. And that then takes us to a passionate belief, or we could say owning our belief, a passionate belief. A productivity. It just came from Melvin Lehman's class. He was talking about mature Christians. That's who they're looking for as mission boards and whatever else. They're looking for mature Christians. Really what he was saying is we're looking for young people who are here. Young people who are not necessarily asking the question, well, if I do this, am I going to go to hell? But they're asking, you know, does it edify? Is it helpful? And I forget what a couple of his other questions were, but they've come to this point in their lives, and they own it. They can articulate it. There's this as opposed to this being threatened and dogmatic and so on over on this side. This kind of point in life brings us more of a stable humility. Not wishy-washy, not easily run over, but we know what we believe, we know how we got there, and it doesn't necessarily matter if everybody else embraces it the same as I. You know? This is where I'm at. And can also, this kind of individual can find themselves interacting with other people in a place like this. You know, where there's a range of ideas and a range of modes of operation and whatnot, and it's okay. So if that mission does it a little different, hey, we don't have to stress over that or criticize them, or we can be okay with that because we know where we're at, we know why, and we're not easily threatened if someone comes out a little different place than we do. Back to Judy's comment, you know, can this go over here? I'd like to ask you a question again. Where do you find yourself on the diagram? One of the hazards of diagrams in teaching is it oversimplifies life, right? That's one of the helpful things about it, is that it does simplify it, and it breaks it down and helps us to put it into a picture and understand a few things, but it can oversimplify it. And so it's not like we're just one point in here. Probably all of us are everywhere, which kind of makes us a basket case, I guess. But probably all of us are everywhere in this diagram on different issues. You know, on forgiveness, maybe it's one place. On maybe dress issues or music issues or whatever the issues are. Maybe even biblical interpretation issues. We're at different places. And some things are up here, some things over here. The other thing that can happen is we think something's up here, and it probably is for where we're at in life. But then we encounter something, and all of a sudden we find ourselves back down here. Doesn't mean that you weren't up here before. It just means that now you're at a new point in your life. Maybe the death of a child, or courtship breaks up, or courtship doesn't happen in the first place, or whatever, you know. And we find ourselves at a different place that plunges us back into a struggle in relation to the goodness of God, for example. With just a couple minutes left, one more thing I'd like to add. And that is the element of faith. Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. We had this little saying that without God cannot lead us out of our pea-sized Christianity based on facts we don't know. Someone crosses it out with faith. Faith is definitely a part of the process and cannot be minimized. So faith becomes the glue that holds this whole thing together. Or you could say faith is the grease that keeps the thing moving, depending how you want to, what analogy you want to use. And so at this foundational level at the bottom, we need an exploratory faith. Takes a certain amount of faith to explore and to even enter into this and to engage this process. We also need a persistent faith in the struggle to not give up. We also need a submissive faith once we come to this point of conviction in our lives and God really laying a hand on us and saying, you know, we need a submissive faith to yield to that. And then we also need, or that takes us then to a passionate faith that is well-grounded, rooted, and ready to go to work. Ready to reproduce, we might say. This kind of faith over here isn't going to reproduce a whole lot. It's just not going to. But this kind of faith up here becomes contagious. All right. Very good. Time's up for today. And God bless you as you not only stake a claim, maybe stake a claim here today, stake a claim on something that is being presented, you're hearing, you're receiving, but God bless you in the days ahead as you prove up on your claim.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.